Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yevames Kuf Yud Dalet. We are holding on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara begins with a story. Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna. So he had some keys which went missing. Ir Kesulei Mafteche. He lost his keys. Which keys? Mafteche de Bei Medrasha. The keys of the Beis Medrash. Where did they go missing? Birshus Rabim B'Shabbat. It was on Shabbos in Birshus Rabim. He sees his keys out in the street. How can he retrieve them? Also, Lekamei de Rabbi Pedas. So he came to Rabbi Pedas with a shaila. What should I do? Amarle, he tells him, simple solution. Zil, go ahead. Devar, you should lead to leave Italia. Some boys, some little girls. Let them play in that vicinity. The mashkechi. So then if they find it, mashkechi luhu, if they find those keys, maisi luhu, they'll bring them in. There you go. So you have your keys back. Almaka savar. So end of story. Says the Gemara, Almaka savar, apparently he holds. Who? Rabbi Pedas holds. He is of the opinion that katan oichel nevelos, even if one should observe a katan doing an isser, like eating a nevela, ein bezdin metzuvan afrisha, there's no chiv for bezdin to separate him. If it's your own son, you have chinuch obligations to educate your son in advance of his adulthood, but a stranger, even bezdin, don't have to look after katanim, even when they're doing an isser. Leim misayele, perhaps we'll have a riot to this concept from the following brisa, which says, layoi mar adam latinik. One should never instruct a tinaik to do a malacha, to do an isser. Haveli maftayach, haveli chaysam, bring me the key or the seal from the Rishus Rabban on Shabbos. You can't actually tell him. But, ela manichai, toileish, you can allow him to rip off some branches of a tree. Manichai zorek, allow him to toss an item far out into Rishus Rabban. So although he's doing an isser, he's doing a malacha on Shabbos, you have no chiyuv to stop him. Feeding him is asr, as we're going to see later, based on a pasuk. But to watch him passively, that's okay. Amar Abaye. There's no raya from here. There is no raya. When the Braisa says, toilish, you can watch him break off a branch. And Ba'atzit Shein Nakav was speaking that it's out of a flower pot which is not perforated. It's not considered connected to the ground. It's totally detached. In which case, Min HaTorah, there is no iser for detaching a leaf from this plant. And that's why you can allow the cotton to do it. Zorek, the Braisa says, you can let him throw things. Bekarmelis, the Rabbanon, speaking that it's not a Rishus Rabban, it's just a forest, etc., which is not considered a Rishus Rabban. It's only an Issa the Rabbanon to carry there. So sure, if he's only involved in Issa the Rabbanon, perhaps here you can let him do things on his own, but if it's an Issa the Raisa, perhaps you have to stop him. There's no right from this Braisa to our Chiddush, the story with the keys in the street. Toshma, here comes a kasha on Rabbi Pedas. You say you can let a kid do what he wants? Oyvid kechavim shabalachabas. There is a fire raging and a guy, a fireman, comes running to put out the fire. Very common in cities. You haven't called him, but he's suddenly there. Ein oimrim loikabei. You don't tell him to put out the fire. You can't. You can't instruct a guy to do a malacha for us. Right? Isadur abanan, amir la'akam. It's like he's your shliach. You're not allowed to do that. So kabei, that's asur. Likewise, you don't need to tell him va'al techabe. You don't need to stop him. Don't put it out. It's not your business. Mipnei she'en shvisa soyalein, because his shvisa, his resting on Shabbos, is not your business. Let him do what he wants. But a katan abalacham. You see a katan coming to put out your fire. Oimrim la'al techabe. We tell him stop. Don't put it out. She'en shvisa soyalein, because his rest is upon you. Meaning you're obligated to see him. To see to it that he rests on Shabbos. Here you go. One has to stop a katan from doing malacha, from doing yisr. That's a kasha on Rabbi Pedas, who allowed Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna to retrieve his maftechis from the street by orchestrating, by getting the kids out there and bringing it inside. Am Rabbi Yechanan, no, here it's different. You know why you cannot allow the katan to put out your fire? We're speaking that his father is standing there and showing consent. Expressing approval. Ba'is al das aviv. a child looks up at his father's face, he sees he's fully approving of what he's doing. Perhaps he's not telling him to do it, but he sees that he's making his father happy. So his father, in a sense, is encouraging this maisa. It's almost like he's sending his son to do it. That's different. Because as we said before, you can't go ahead and instruct the kid to do an isser. That you can't do. Okay, the kavas say, gabi oivit kechabim. So, in similar fashion, when the Braisa discusses the goy coming to put out a fire, we'll assume that it's a similar type of case. Do'is adas Yisrael. He is experiencing the Yisrael's consent while he's doing it. Well, that wouldn't be mutter. Mishari, would that be mutter? We're assuming that both cases are of similar circumstance. If the kid doing it adas aviv, so the guy is doing it adas Yisrael. Why is that mutter? You can't have a guy do malacha for you on Shabbos. You can't instruct him. You can't send him to do a malacha. In this case, when you're showing approval, you're encouraging him to do it. No, a guy is different. When a guy does something, he's doing it for his own sake. He has his own personal interest in mind. Rashi says he knows he's going to get paid at the end of the day. He's not doing it for you at all. Toshma. Here comes another raya. A raya to Rabbi Pedos, that in fact you don't have to stop a kid who's doing an isser. As long as you don't send him and instruct him, he's doing it on his own, it's his own personal business. Ben Chaver, this child is a son of a Chaver. Chaver is a term used for Talmid HaChamim, for those who keep higher standards of kashrus. So this child happens to have a grandfather who is a simple Am Haaretz. Sharago Leilech Etzel Avi Imay Al Haaretz. He's accustomed to going and visiting his mother's father, who happens to be Am Haaretz, who does not necessarily keep such high standards of kashrus. Ein choshishin, we don't have to be concerned. Shama yachilenu dvarim she'enem sukanim. Perhaps Mr. Grandfather will treat this grandson to food which has not been looked after in terms of the truma, tevel, and all that. You don't have to worry about it. Motzo biyodei peiros. Not only that, if you see the child coming on with some fruit from his grandfather, ein zoka klai, don't worry about it. Let him eat it. Apparently, we don't have to concern ourselves with an isser committed by a child. That's a raya to Rabbi Pedos. Amar b'yechana, no, here it's different. B'demai hikilu. After all, you don't know that it's asr. It's not like he's doing a malach on Shabbos. These are fruit which he got from his grandfather, which is considered demai, right? This is what? We're not sure what this is. Did he take off the truma? Did he not? And since most Amei Haaretz would be mafresh teruma, so really it's just a din the rabbanon, it's a chumra the rabbanon effect, and therefore perhaps you don't have to interfere with the child. But otherwise, if you know that he's doing an isser outright, perhaps you would have to interfere. So who's speaking? It's Rabbi Yechanan, right? Here comes Akash. Elatam adedmai. So the reason why it's okay is because it's merely demai. Ha vaday. But suppose it would be tevel vaday, certain iser, ba'al asuri, then the father has to look after his son, make sure he doesn't eat this thing. This is Rabbi Yechanan speaking. When it's a derabbanan, don't worry, but if it's a deraisa, you have to get in the way. But a minute ago, Rabbi Yechanan himself just told us, with that story with the child putting out the fire, typically it wouldn't be asur. It's only asur because... What did Rabbi Yechanan tell us? Ba'is al-das of it, because he's doing it with his father's consent. It's as if his father is encouraging him and sending him to do it. Otherwise, you don't have to worry about your son's isser. It's a steer within Rabbi Yechanan. Here he says it's okay, here he says it's not. You're right. Rabbi Yechanan is not sure. El Rabbi Yechanan, sepukim esapkel, he's not sure regarding this halacha. And therefore, ka'i hacha, when you ask this way, matchili pushes you away. Ka'i hacha, you ask the other way, matchili pushes you away. We're not sure which way to go. Tashma, here comes another raya. Ben Chaver Kayin. He's a child of a Kayin who's a Chaver. Shiragu Leilich Eitzlavi Imoy, Kayin Am Haaretz. He frequents his grandfather who happens to be an Am Haaretz Kayin. Ein Chashishin, we have no concerns. Shema Yachilenu Truma Tmei. Perhaps his grandfather will feed him Truma, which is Tamei, which is also to be eaten. Matzobi Adi Peris. He sees him holding some fruit. Ein Zokakloi, don't worry about it. Evidently, we're not concerned with a child doing an Isser. B'truma d'rabbanan, we're speaking that it was only truma mid'rabbanan, so the entire concern is only a d'rabbanan concern. If it's tummy, it's only also d'rabbanan. Yeah, in that case, we don't have to interfere with the child. But if it would be an Isser d'oraisa, perhaps you have to step in and interfere. To Hashmaya comes another raya. Yoinik tinoik, he's a baby. He can nurse. Yoinik tinoik v'hoich, he can keep on nursing, me'ibedes kuchav, even from a goita. Interesting that in halacha we find that nursing from a non-Jewish woman is not really aser min haTorah. It's only midas chasidus, something preferred. There's the well-known Rashi, Medrash, Bar Moshe Rabbeinu, who refused to nurse from the Egyptian women. So it's certainly something commendable. It's not really outright iser, but still the Braisa puts it together with outright isurim. So we allow the child to nurse from the non-Jewish woman, umi behemot tmeah, even from a non-kosher animal. Don't be concerned the child is nursing something inappropriate, something usr. Let him do what he does. Leave him alone. Of course, you can't hand him, you can't feed him something which is usr. So you see that difference between the child nursing on his own or you actually feeding him. The former is mutter, the latter is usr. The Braisa continues. Umikulan yoinik mehem. Vafilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, a child can nurse in all these various situations. U'begadol asur. But if he's an adult, then it's asur. So even from a kosher animal, an adult may not draw milk on Shabbos. You know why? Because it's a malacha. It's actually a teilada. Rashi says, if one nurses, is choylev biyadav, he actually draws milk with his hands, chayev mishum mefarik davar mikaduloi. That's a malacha. It's mefarik. He's dislodging something from its source, right? And he says v'hayoynik, if one nurses by way of his mouth, then although it's not a direct malacha, it's a mefarik aydei shinoi. It's an indirect backhanded way of doing mefarik, which is actually a teilod of dush, threshing, pulling the kernels out of its encasement. So ubegadol asur, if he's an adult, he can't get involved in nursing or drawing milk. Abashol aymer noyhagin ayinu sheyoinkim imbehema teira biyamtiv. On yamtiv, we allowed ourselves to draw milk from a behema teira. Okay, bottom line is, what pertains to us? At any rate, the Braisa says, "Ein choshishin b'yenik shekets." You can have the tinaik, this youngster, draw milk, even non-kosher milk. What do you mean? It's asur. It's his business. I don't have to interfere. It's a raya to Rabbi Pedas's concept. Answers the Gemara, no. Hasa mishum sakana. Perhaps the child's in danger, and therefore we allow it. It's bekuach nefesh. Asks the Gemara, "Ihachi, if that would be the case, gadol nami, then even a gadol who is in a state of pikuach nefesh, a state of sakana, can do the same thing. Why are you differentiating between katan and gadol?" Answers the Gemara, there is a slight difference in concept. Of course you're right, but gadol boy umtano. A gadol has to be evaluated. Don't just let him eat iser. Don't just let him do malacha, unless he's really in a precarious condition. Well, katan nami leboy umtano, a child as well, you have to evaluate his condition and see if it's really pertinent. Amar Huner Breda Rishua Stam Tinoik. The assumption is that a child, a baby, is Mesukinate Zulchalov. He's not going to get his milk supply. It endangers his health. You know, the Chazanish has a huge chiddush. He says mother's milk for a baby is vital, it's his lifeline. He says that if the mother knows she cannot properly supply her baby with milk, even during a fast day, she doesn't have to fast. I think he even says Yom Kippur. If she knows that the child will not get his proper supply, milk to an infant, milk to a nursing baby is life. Even though there are all kinds of supplements and alternatives, that's a Chazanish Shita, and it's mashal like that from Alo Gemara. You can't just feed him formula. Tinek misukun etzel chalav. You never know what it does to a child. You know, the doctors discover that the all the types of enzymes and components within the natural mother's milk is so beneficial for the development of the child. and heaven knows how many illnesses and diseases it can prevent. It can insulate and vaccinate that child and keep him healthy for the future. So it's considered sakonas nafashas. So bottom line is, to actually tell the child, instruct him to do an isser, that's off limits. If you see him doing an isser derabbanan, that's okay, but isser deraisa, that's the chiddush of Rabbi Pedas, which we're still in the middle of discussing. Let's just go back to this braisa regarding nursing and drawing milk. Abashol aimer noyhagana, you know, it was our minhag, sheyoinkim mibehema tohira biyamtiv. We would milk the behema tohira on yamtiv, but not on Shabbos. Hechidami, what's the case? If somebody's in danger, afilu b'Shabbos nam, it's mutter even on Shabbos. If there's no danger component, afilu b'yamtiv also, then yamtiv it's aser as well, because we know we can't do malachis on yamtiv, only certain specific malachis starting from lisha, from kneading onward, but this is dash, which is way before lisha, it's aser on yamtiv. Litzricha dika tzara. Apparently we're speaking that there's some discomfort and tzar involved. Tosfos has two pshat, and Rabbi Tam learns, just a way of saying somebody's famished and needs that milk. It brings from the Ri that perhaps is speaking about the animal who's experiencing discomfort, and that's why Chacham say, you know what, we do away with the Issa Rabbanan to accommodate a person or the animal in Tsar. Because Sofer, and we're working with the concept that Mefarik Kalachayatu, right? That nursing in this manner is called Mefarik, it's part of the Malach of Dash, but it's only in a backhanded, indirect way. Right, because you're doing it by nursing with your mouth, and therefore we mechalik between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos is skila, gazer rabban. On Shabbos, where malachis generate skila, Chachamim say, you know what? Even this would be asur. But Yom Tov, the iser love, Yom Tov, which is merely a love, so it's a step lower. Like gazer be rabban, rabban say, you know what? Typically it's asur, but in this case, to accommodate the tsar, we allow it. Toshmai comes a riot to our discussion. Our sugya regarding children doing isurim. Pasuk says, "Lo yisoichlum ki sheketz heim." Don't partake in these forbidden creatures. And it's an extra pasuk. This concept has been repeated over and over. So what's the extra pasuk? Lo yisachilum, to tell you, don't feed. Don't feed whom? Lahazer hagdoilim alaktanim. When instructing the adults, don't feed your children things which are tameh. My love, apparently we're speaking to Amar lehu lo yisoichlum. Torah is telling you, turn to those kids and stop them from eating. Loi, that's not the point. Torah is saying, look, don't feed them. Don't manually feed them, but perhaps if you see them doing an isser, there's no chiyuv to stop them. Toshmaya comes another eye regarding dam. Kol nefesh mekem lo yiseichal dam. Nobody should have dam. This is an extra pasuk to tell you that you have to look after the children. Lahazer gedhagdoy lemalaktanim. Torah is instructing the adults to look after the children, stop them from eating blood. My love, the Amri Luloi Seichlu. Apparently, the Torah is telling you, tell them to stop eating that dam. Loi, no, that's not what the pasuk is speaking about. The list for Lubi Yodayim. The Torah is telling you, don't feed them. We don't necessarily have to stop them. Toshmai, here comes another right regarding Kehanim, refraining, avoiding Tuma. Emor, the pasuk says, Emor, ala Kehanim, bnei Aaron, ve'omarta aleim, ve'omarta is an extra phrase. Emor, ve'omarta, lahazer, gedoilim, alaktanim. The Torah is telling the adults, watch out, watch those kids, make sure they don't become tamei, they're kehanim as well. My love, the amr lo'loisi tamei, apparently the gdolim are telling them to stop from becoming tamei, so we see that we are obligated to stop that child. Loi, that's not the case. And rather, the loi litamei lo biyodayim, don't make them tamei directly, don't be metamei them, but if they're doing it on their own, you don't have to stop them. So we have no raya to our shiloh. So directness is usur, but watching passively on the side would still be the shaila that we had discussed. We have no raya from the pasuk. Utsrichi. Now, why do we need three psukim to be mazir the gdolim and the ketanim? Shkatzim remasim. We have the dam. We have the kohanim tmeim. All three have a chiddush. The ashminon shkatzim. Only from the first case of the shkatzim, I would say sure. Mishum the yisurim b'mashu. You see, the iser achila sheketz is even less than a kezayis. Even a small amount. Rashi says even a lentil worth. Tosfos disagrees. He brings rayas that actually, even by the sheres, it needs to be a kezayis. What then does the Gemara mean? B'mashu, Tosfos says, a berry, if it's a the creature, if it's a bug in its original form, even if it's a small size, beria would be also. So this is a chumra that we find by shkotzim. So perhaps over there, due to its severity, you have to stop the children. Aval dam da de ikar revius, or some say kazayis, by the dam which isn't as severe, isn't as chumra. It takes much more to be over the iser or revius. So when it's congealed, it used to be kazayis. As to, seems to be the shayla and the gerusa, we're speaking about liquefied or congealed. In any case, it's certainly a bigger, larger shear than the sheketz. Emolei, perhaps in that case, there is no din to stop the children. And that's why the pasuk has to tell us by the dam as well. V'yesh min dam, if only from dam, mishum deika karis, I would say, yeah, that's really severe because it could generate karis. Aval shrotzim emolei, but by shrotzim, where it's only a lav, perhaps this halacha doesn't apply. V'yesh min hanitarti, if only from these two cases, and not the Tumas Koyen, I would say Mishum the Surun Shava Bakoyen. These two items are universally surun, applicable to anybody amongst Klal Yisrael, so of course they carry this stipulation as well. Avo Tuma, but when it comes to Tumas Kehana, which is a specific halacha to Kehana, Emelei, perhaps this wouldn't apply. That's why we need it. V'yashminon Tuma. V'yashminon Tuma, comma. If the person would tell us about Tuma, I would say, yeah. Kayhanim Shani, that's a mitzvah for a Kayan. A Kayan keeps higher standards. Mishum deribo behen mitzvahs yiseiros. We find an increase in mitzvahs by Kayhanim. They have to conform to higher standards. They have to be role models. They're more chomer than other yidden. Therefore, even the youngsters have to conform. Avalahani, but when it comes to other types of isurim, dam, and sheretz, emalei, perhaps, we wouldn't apply the halacha tzricha. That's why the Torah has to present all three, shkatzim, dam, and tumas kehanim. Okay, back to our kash. If you witness a katan doing an esser, you have to stop him. Remember, he's not your child. There's no mitzvah schinuch. A stranger's child. Is there a chiyah for us, for bezn, to help katanim avoid isurim? Toshma, he comes a raya from our Mishnah. Shnei achim, you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Echad pikeach, one is healthy. Vechad cherish, one is a deaf mute fellow whose marriage to his wife is merely only midrabbanan. Right? Nisu and shtei achoyes, they're both married to sisters who are both pikeches, both healthy women. So Reuven is a cherish, married to a pikachas. His marriage is merely midrabbanan. His brother Shimon is a pikeach, married to a pikachas. Meis cherish bal pikachas. Reuven, the cherish, passes away. Ma yase pikeach bal pikachas. So his brother, the pikeach, married to the pikachas, minat Torah. What's he going to do with the yevama who is arriving on the scene? Teitzim shemachos isha. Look, his marriage with his wife, Shimon's, is a solidified proper Torah marriage. Now the yevama who's arriving on the scene is only a Yivama Midrabbanan, because after all, she was married to Reuven, only Midrabbanan. Shimon's marriage with his wife overrides. And therefore, the Yivama's potter, she's a Chois Isha, she's my wife's sister. Meis Pekeach Bal Pekachas. What if Shimon passes away? So his wife is a Yivama Minatera. Ma Yase Cheresh Bal Pekachas. Now, Reuven, the Cheresh, is in trouble. Because after all, his marriage with Rachel, right? His marriage with his wife is only Midrabbanan. And now he's faced with a Yevam who's coming to him, Minat Torah. Moitzi is ishte beget. He must issue a get to his wife. His wife Rachel is a sister of the Yevam who's zakuk to him, Minat Torah. So Rachel is the achoyz zakuka, problem there. He has to get rid of her. Ve'eshes ochav asur lo'ilam, and likewise he can't really address the Yevam. Aleya who comes for Yibam cannot be addressed because Chalitza is not an option. He's a Cheresh, he can't do Chalitza. And he can't be Miyabim her because, after all, she's his wife's sister. Question. Amai Moitzis Ishta Beget. What's the issue with Reuven's personal wife? Fact is, he's a Cheresh. A Cheresh is like a katan in terms of obligations and Yisurim. Tesev Gapay. Let her stay with him. Katan Oichel Nevelasu. At most, he's like a katan who's doing something wrong. You don't have to stop him. Mishum Yisroel Dida. You're right. Perhaps his involvement doesn't concern us. Our concern is her. She's a gdola. He was married to Pikachas, right? That explains why he has to be Megarisha. She can't stay married with him. Toshma, here comes another raya to our question. We have the other case in the Mishnah. Shnei Achim Pikchim. Reuben and Shimon are both healthy. Nusun Shtei Achoyos, married to two sisters, and here it's one on one. Achas Pikachas, Vachas Chereshes. So this time the men were healthy, but the women, it's one on one. One is a Pikachas, one is a Chereshes. Meis Pikach Bal Chereshes. Reuben, who had married Rachel the Chereshes, he passed away. Mayas Pikach Bal Pikachas. What's Shimon the Pikach, husband of Pikachas, who's married Ben Atur, what's he going to do with the Yevama? Who comes onto the scene? Very simple. She's Potter. She's my wife's sister. Because Rachel was only married to Reuven Midrabanan, right? Because she was a Chereshes. So now when she comes and interferes, she doesn't interfere because my marriage to my wife is Minatera. And that precludes Yibum with her. She's my wife's sister. But the other way around, Meis Pikeach Bal Pikachas. Shimon the Pikeach, husband of Leah the Pikachas, he passes away. Now Leah is a true Yevama Minatera. Ma Yasa Pikeach Bal Chereshes. What's Reuven the Pikeach, the husband of Rachel, the Chereshes, going to do? His marriage is Milim Midrabanan and overshadowed by the Yevama who's coming Min HaTorah. So it's the same as before. Moiti is ishta beget. He has to give a get to his wife because she's the sister of the Yevama. The Achoy Zekuka was almost like his wife. So it's like his Achoy ishta. She's asked to him. Ve'eshes achim b'chalitza. Then he turns to the Yevama, to Leah, gives her chalitza. Because remember, they're both healthy. He's healthy and she's healthy. Chalitza is a full option. Question. Va'amai moiti is ishta beget. Why does Reuven, the Pekeach, have to divorce his wife Rachel the Chereshes? True, there's an issue with Achoy Zekuka, but she's a Chereshes. She's not obligated. She's like a Ketana. Tesev Gabe, let her stay with him. Because at most it is a Katan Oichel Neveloisu. It's a child doing an issue. True, she's not the concern. She's a Chereshes. Mishum Isur Didei. We're concerned about him. He's a Pekeach. That's the problem. That's where he has to give a get. I'm a Rava. Here comes the final Raya. Toshma. Shnei achen, echad cheresh, echad pikech. Reuven and Shimon, one is cheresh, one is pikech. Nusun l'shtei achoyis, married to two sisters, achas pikachas, v'achas chereshes, one on one. Meis cheresh bal chereshes. Reuven the cheresh, husband of chereshes, passes away. His marriage was merely midrabanan. Now his wife Rachel presents as a yevama to Shimon. Ma yas pikech bal pikachas. What should Shimon the pikech, husband of pikachas, who's married to Ben Atur, do with Rachel the Yevama midrabanan? Very simple. Send her off. Teitzim shemachayis isha. She's the sister of my wife. She's an Arab. Potter from you. Meis pikeach val pikachas. But if Shimon passes away and his wife is a true wife, minatir, a true Yevama, now she presents to Reuven, that interferes with Reuven's marriage with his wife, which is really midrabanan. Mayas zecheresh bal chereshes. What should he do? He's stuck on all sides. Moitzis ishta beget. He has to divorce his wife. Ve'eshes ochem asur lo'ilam, he can do nothing to Leah the Yevama because he's a cheresh. Chalitza is not an option. Yibum is not an option either because Leah is a sister of his former wife. Asks the Gemara. V'ahacha, but look at this case. Reuven and Rachel are both chereshim. The lavi isur di da'ika, there's no concern about her isur, she's a chereshes. V'lavi isur di da'ika, there's no concern about him either, he's a cheresh. Uktani, what does the Mishnah say? Divorce. Moiti is ishta beget. What's the problem? Amar of Shmaya. I'll explain it to you. In theory, you're right. Reuven the Cheresh can stay married with Rachel the Cheresh, even though she's a sister of Zivama. Because they're both like Tanim. We don't have to interfere with their lives. Rather, there's a Gzeira. Mishma Toras, Yivama Lashok. Let's take a look at Rashi. Two lines from the top. Gzeira Mishma Toras, Yivama Lashok. If you allow the Chereshes to stay with the Cheresh, stay married, people will misunderstand what's happening. Layadi inshi, people will not realize that Tama Mishum Katan Oichel Nevelosu. They won't realize that the reason why they're staying married is because they're Ketanim, they're not obligated, and we just let them do the Yisr. They're not going to realize that that's the reason for them staying married. V'savri, rather they'll figure the kiddushin di da dochelu. They'll think that this marriage between Reuben and Rachel is a solid marriage, and that kiddushin pushes aside the zika of the yevama. They won't realize that he's being involved with the sister of his zikuka. They'll think, no, he's doing right. The yevama is pater. And what's going to happen? So let them think. Who cares? You know what's going to happen? Hilkach asi l'mishraya l'achoyse l'shuk. Now the Yevama will go marry out. They'll think that she's pater from Yibum. Pisharachos Isha Shabtura min Achalitza. Just like any Achos Isha, typically. And Achos Isha is pater from Yibum. They'll confuse this with a regular Achos Isha. And in reality, it's not so. In reality, the Yevama is Aser. La'ilam. La'ilam means, I guess, until the Yavam passes away and then there's no option for Yibum. But until then, she's Aser. Because after all, Reuben and Rachel, the Cheresh and Chereshes, are not married min HaTorah. And Leah the Yavama, the sister of Rachel, is not really the Achos Isha. So she really can't marry a stranger. She's not pater from Yibum. But if we let them stay married, people will have that misconception. They'll say, oh, this is a marriage, and she's the Achos Isha, and they'll let her marry out. To address that concern, we don't allow it to stay as it is. We tell Reuven to be Megarish Rachel. Now it's clear that his marriage with Rachel is not marriage min HaTorah, and therefore doesn't exempt Leah the Yevama from Yibum or Chalitza. Hadra lo Cheresh. The bottom line is, what if a Katan is seeing doing an Isra? So if you observe the Katan doing an Isra, the Rabbanah leave him alone. To actually feed him, encourage him, instruct him to do an Issa Deraisa, that's us, so we have psukim for that. What if he's just seen doing an Issa Deraisa? Rav Pita says it's okay, we had a whole discussion, which we didn't have a clear rai, we didn't really conclude. Hadron Lachirish. And by the way, the Gemara, many times throughout Shas, brings this halacha and says, well, Lamando Amar, that says that Bezdin doesn't have to look after him. Lamandam, our Bezdin has to look. It seems to be a machlekes, perhaps machlekes tanoim as well. But al kapanim and al gemor, we don't really have a clarity on that. Continues the Mishnah. Okay, we have this perek clear. We'll know how to paskin the halachis of agunas. By the way, aguna means tied down, anchored down. Isha is tied down; she can't remarry. That's the aguna that we're trying to help. We find many kules. We're flexible when it comes to determining whether her husband passed away. If we have good reason to believe so, we allow her to remarry. We don't really need proper edim, etc. And of course it's based on what? So I'll just refer back to the Perek HaIsha Rabba. It's based on the concept of Daiko Minseba, because we know that the Isha will be very careful in investigating the facts properly. You know why? Because she's in for big trouble if it turns out that her account of events are less than true. She loses her husband, etc. So, relying on that assumption, she'll really verify the facts properly. We go with it. We allow her to remarry. Ha'isha shalcha. Hiyu ba'alal dina sayam. A woman went with her husband out of town. Shalom b'nei l'bina. There's peace and harmony between this couple. There's no reason to believe that she's looking for a way out. So that's number one. V'shalom ba'ilam. There's peace in the world. It's not a time of tumult. It's not a time of war. In which case, we have no reason to think that she'll just make assumptions and, go with the fear. So if these two things are in place, Uba of Amra, she comes back and tells us, unfortunately, Meis Bali, my husband passed away. I can tell you for a fact he passed away. Tinase, we take it as a fact. We believe her, she can remarry. Meis Bali, Tis Yabe, my husband passed away. I'm due to for Yibum, go ahead and have Yibum. But, Shalom b'inoy l'bina umil chamal b'aylam. Let's say there's harmony between the couple, but it's wartime. Or katata b'inoy l'bina. There is discord and disharmony between this couple. V'sholem b'aylam, but there's peace in the world. In either one of these cases, we don't trust her account of events. Ubasa v'amra, she comes and says, Meis bali einon emenes. We don't trust her. So if there's issues between the couple, Rashi says, "Metoich shesayin asoi." He writes, "La aser etzmeolah," because she dislikes him. She's trying to get away out. She's going to try to remarry, and maybe even if he comes back, I'll be aser on him. Better that way. So we can't trust her account of events. Likewise, if they're living in harmony, but there's mechama in the world, you know what? People assume they're agitated, they're anxious, and they sometimes assume the worst, even though it has not yet been verified. So we can't really take it as a fact. Rabbi Do'imer, there are three conditions. peace and harmony between the couple, peace out there. And also, lo'olam einon emenes, we're not going to trust her, elim kein bos, until she comes to us and presents herself as follows. Boicha, she's crying, yigubgadeh akruin, with torn clothing, which really serves to authenticate the story. Respond, that's not a necessary factor. Whether she dressed properly or it doesn't matter. That's not really a factor to reckon with. Now the question is, why does the Mishnah start with the Isha who traveled away with her husband? And there's Shalom between them. And there's Shalom in the world. Why do you have to mention that? Isn't that the default assumption? Stama, we assume. Happily married. Stomach, we assume everything's okay out there. Why does the Mishnah have to even open with those words? Tano shalom beno lebino. The reason why the Mishnah did mention shalom between the husband and wife, because it was in contrast to the next part of the Mishnah where we're describing a ktata, discord and disharmony. And likewise, Tana, the Mishnah mentions shalom boilam, there's peace in the world. Mishum de kabayim misni, mochama boilam, this was in contrast to the next scenario where there is milcham in the world. Okay, Amar Rava, my time of the milcham. Here's the big question. Why this difference between peacetime and wartime? What's the difference? The answer is Mishum de Amra, b'de dami. Because it's very likely that the Isha will just make assumptions. The Sover, Salka Daita, she's thinking to herself, Salka Daita, can you really think that, you know, on this battlefield over there, b'chalhani da iktol, after all these people were killed on the battlefield, who Pallet? He is the one that survived? Unlikely. And therefore, she just comes to the conclusion, oh, my husband passed away, and that's what she's coming to tell us, even though it wasn't really investigated properly and verified. Asks the Gemara, but one second. You know, there's a counter-argument to this. Imtim Tzalem, perhaps you'll say, well, given the Sholem Bein Eli Beino, since they were living in peace and harmony, happily married, why would she just come to conclusions like that? Certainly not sure she would wait around at the Chazi until she actually sees that he dies. So true, it's wartime. True, it's unlikely that he survived. But she wants to hang on. She doesn't want to lose him. Why would she just come to unconfirmed conclusions and come tell us about it? Answers the Gemara, Zimnan, because it could happen. You were struck by a gira, by an arrow, or a reimach, spear, b'savar v'ad emes, and you know, she figures, okay, he certainly died. And Tosis explains, since it's wartime, it's right in the middle of the battlefield, she's not sticking around, there are missiles and bullets flying everywhere, and as soon as she sees that happen, she assumes that he's dead. V'ikud, but you know what, sometimes they can perform, you know, emergency battlefield surgery. V'ikud avad samatri, they can use some type of potions, type of medicine v'chaya, and bring him back to life and revive him. You know, you never know what can happen. Don't give up till you know, till last moment. So, true, maybe she's going to watch, but up to a certain point, you never know if she was really there when he died, and therefore you can't really trust her. Okay, so that's the pshat why a time of melchama takes away her namonis, because of assumptions. Sava Rava Lamim. Now Rava figured Ra'avain, hunger, a famine. Einoi kimulchama. We don't treat it like wartime. Delay Amr with the dummy. There's no reason why she would just make assumptions. She says, you know, my husband died because of the famine. We take it as fact. Ha dama Rava. But the Rava changed his mind due to a personal experience that he had. Ra'avain Ariyuk Mulchama. Yeah, we treat Ra'avain like Mulchama. Why? Tahi the Asas Lakame the Rava. There was this Isha who came to Rava. Amrali, she tells him, Bali meets Barav. I want to inform you about my husband who passed away, Barav. Amrali, so Rava, try to test her and trick her. He says, yeah. So he empathized with her. Shaper Avdas, you know, you did well. The Shezvas, you saved Nafshech yourself. You saved yourself. You got out just in time. Sakadaitach, perhaps you're thinking, the Bahu Purta, with that little bit, the nefafis of sifted flour, the shafksli that you left for your husband, have a chayah, that will be enough for him to live. It's a good thing you got out in time. So he's trying to see her, gauge her reaction. Amalei, so she fell for it. She acknowledges, yeah. Amalei, mar nama yada. You see, Rava, you're yourself also acknowledging the Chiyai Gavna Loichaya. He would never, he had no chance of success, no chance to survive under those conditions. And bottom line is, he got her. She left him while he was still alive. So because of this maisa, because of the story, Rava retracted and he said, not only is Ra'avain treated the same as Muhammad, Ra'avain griyam in Muhammad. It's even worse than wartime. You know why? The ilu Muhammad, see, by wartime, she says, look, I noticed him dying on the battlefield. That's not enough. As we explained before, you never know, he might have been rescued. But Ki Amra Meis Bali Bil Mucham, right? Ki Amra Meis Bali Bil, she comes and says, look, I saw he died during the battle. She's not believed. Ha Meis Al Metasay. Let's see, she'll say, you know, I saw him dying. He died on the Mita, natural death, whatever it is. I saw him dying. Mehemna, she's believed. That's by Mucham. So the Chashash there is perhaps she, you know, she ran away before he actually died. But if she says, you know, I personally experienced his death, that's Ne'ma. Vilu Gabi Riva Oven, but when it comes to famine and hunger, that's not enough. Ad Amra Mesu Kvarativ. She's only believed if she actually says, I know that he passed away, I saw him mace, and I was involved in his kfura. You know why? Explains Rashi as follows. The Chashash by Melchama is perhaps he got away in time. So until she says, I know I saw him mace, b'mitasai, I can confirm his death, we believe her. But by a rav, when there's famine, shortage of food, as soon as he's hovering, as soon as his situation is precarious enough that it will naturally lead to death, she just makes that assumption. Look, he had no access to food. That's it. Food was depleted. Of course he'll die. So even she didn't actually see him die, she'll make that assumption. So by rav, it's nothing until she says, I buried him. What about Amapoilas? The person was involved in a, he was buried underneath a fallen structure. Harayuk Muhammad, we treat it like wartime. The Amr B'Dadamik, there as well, she can perhaps be making assumptions that he died. But you never know, people were extricated from mudslides and earthquakes and fallen buildings after many days. You have to know, you have to have it confirmed. Shiluach Nechashim Bakram, what about if they were attacked by snakes and scorpions? There were again, Harayuk Muhammad, we treat it as wartime, the Amr B'Dadamik, there as well, a person can assume. It has to be confirmed. What about a dever, a plague? Machlekes. Amrila, some treat it like war. Amrila, Harayuk Muhammad, some say it's like wartime. That lends to speculation and assumptions. It has to be confirmed. But Amrila, some disagree. Einuk Muhammad, we don't treat it as wartime. You know why? Because, oh, let's just see the Gemara. Amrila, Harayuk Muhammad, those that say that it's like wartime, the Amr be the dummy, because by a plague, people also assume and they speculate, therefore it has to be 100% confirmed. What about the other shit? Does not treat it as milchama. If she says he dies, we take it as fact. You know why? The samchim, because people generally would rely on the amr inshi on the common phrase. People say, Shev shenin have a moisna. We had a plague going on for 7 years. V'inish b'loy shni. And a person ahead of his time, loy ozel, did not depart, meaning nobody died young. There was a virus going around, but everybody survived, Baruch Hashem. So just because she hears about a plague, it doesn't necessarily lead to assumptions and speculations. Therefore, if she says he died, to take it as fact. So what we learned today, one may not feed nevela, etc. to a katan, but it can allow him to do an issa d'rabbanan. What about issa d'raisa with machlekes? Typically, we trust an isha. When she comes and tells us about her husband's passing, if things are going well, there's no reason to believe she's driven and motivated by ulterior interests, such as dislike for her husband, or perhaps external factors which can lead to assumptions and speculations. So wartime is problematic. Famine is even worse. Mapelis, Nechashim Bakravim, we treat it as wartime. It has to be confirmed with an aid, etc. We don't trust the Isha. Regarding the plague, we have a machlekes. Besuras Tevis to all of us and all of Klal Yisrael. Hatzlacha Rabbah.